recipe books, and plan out your menus so that you have plenty of time to go grocery shopping for the ingredients you need. Take note of prep time and cooking time. Make sure you have enough time to make your meals. This includes waking up to prepare breakfast. Don't be afraid of repetition. This is not a cook something new every day challenge. That comes later, challenge 54. While I do encourage you to try new recipes, by all means, repeat and refine the recipes that work for you. Love your leftovers. Make a big pot of chili or stew on Sunday and bring it to work on Monday. Have backup meal options. Just in case things get hectic and you don't have time to prepare the meal you had in mind, have several 10-minute options to fall back on. Cook with others. Cook with your partner or your kids, or invite friends over and cook together for a fun and memorable meal. Give yourself one break per week for a total of 4 meals. This allows you to attend a social event or work lunch, or simply escape your kitchen. Variation. Many lifestyles and schedules don't allow for 30 days of home-cooked meals. Absolutely refine the challenge and do what works for you. It might be 30 days of dinner or just breakfast and dinner. 17. Keep a food journal. I'm a snacker and a grazer. If food is in front of me, I'll pick at it. I never realized just how much I snacked until I started keeping a food journal. I snacked not because I was hungry, but out of habit, boredom, and convenience. At first, tracking my food intake felt like a giant hassle. But the more meals I logged, the easier the process became. I started to make better food decisions, knowing that I had to record everything I put in my mouth. People who keep food journals also see greater results because they're able to identify unhealthy patterns and routines they didn't realize they had, like their tendency to buy a bag of potato chips from the vending machine at 3 p.m., and make smarter, healthier food choices as a result. Keystone Habits. In his book, The Power of Habit, Charles Duhigg explains that some habits are more effective than others because they create a ripple effect that produces other positive outcomes. These habits, called keystone habits, sink in and create small wins that add up and become contagious. Over time, the process of change becomes easier. Along with food journaling, other keystone habits include regular exercise, challenge 2, family dinners, challenge 43, making your bed every morning, challenge 36, meditation, challenge 25, and planning out your day, challenge 42. The rules. For the next 30 days, keep track of every single thing you eat and drink. Tips. Carry a notepad and pen with you at all times. Track your food on the Notes app on your smartphone or download a food tracking app. Be honest. It's easy to omit a bite of cheese, a few sips of soda, or that extra glass of wine. But these are the kind of eating behaviors that you want to become aware of and ultimately change. Remember, this challenge is about observing your eating patterns and developing an awareness of situations and environments that trigger you to make poor food choices. In order to change your eating habits, you have to know your nature and your tendencies so that you can find the solutions that work for you. Recommended app. MyFitnessPal. Free. Self-care. 18. Floss your teeth the right way. According to a 2014 survey by the American Dental Association, only 40% of Americans floss at least once a day, and 20% of Americans don't floss at all. There is some debate over the effectiveness of flossing at protecting against cavities, gum disease, and tooth loss. But there's no denying that flossing is a quick and low-cost way to maintain good oral hygiene. It removes food particles between and on the teeth, reduces inflammation in the gums, gingivitis, and helps your teeth feel cleaner. The rules. Floss every single tooth, every single day. How to floss correctly. Using approximately 18 inches of dental floss, ease the floss between your teeth to form a C shape around each tooth. Slide the floss up and down the side surfaces of the tooth, i.e., where your toothbrush can't reach. Be sure to floss gently. Don't jam the floss into the gums. You don't want to irritate or cause trauma to them. Tips. How to form a flossing habit. Piggyback the action of flossing into something that is already part of your daily routine, like brushing your teeth before bed. For example, floss every evening immediately after you brush your teeth. Keep plenty of dental floss on hand. Have 2, 3, or more backup boxes handy, and keep them next to your toothbrush or somewhere readily visible. Make it impossible to forget, especially if you're traveling or out of your normal routine. Send yourself reminders or write notes to yourself and paste them on the bathroom mirror. 19. Take cold showers. I know you're tempted to skip ahead, but please hear me out. A cold shower sounded miserable to me, too, but after reading about its popularity and health benefits, I gave it a shot. Much to my surprise, it's become one of my favorite habits. Why take cold showers? Because we've been healing with cold for centuries. We reach for the ice pack when we get a bruise or sprain to reduce pain and minimize swelling. Athletes take ice baths after workouts to speed up the recovery process. Cold on the skin not only increases our tolerance for stress, it also aids our immune system, cardiovascular health, hair, skin, joints, muscles, and even mood and energy. And, if nothing else, a cold dunk in the shower feels invigorating. You'll feel tougher and bolder, like you can face anything the day throws at you. The rules. Depending on how adventurous you are, you can either ease your way into a 5-minute-long cold shower or go all in from day one. Here are a few options to consider. Easy. Week 1. Warm, then 30 seconds cold. Week 2. 30 seconds cold, then warm, then 30 seconds cold, then warm, then 30 seconds cold. Week 3. 1 minute cold, then warm, then 90 seconds cold. Week 4. 1 minute cold, then warm, then 3 minutes cold. End the easy program with a 3 to 5 minute cold shower. Medium. Week 1. Warm, then 1 minute cold. Week 2. Warm, then 2 minutes cold. Week 3. Warm, then 3 minutes cold. Week 4. Warm, then 4 minutes cold. End the medium program with a 5 minute cold shower. Hard. Go cold turkey. Turn your shower knob to its coldest setting and endure the cold for 5 minutes every day for 30 days. Tips. Before you enter the cold water, take 10 slow, deep breaths and mentally prepare yourself for the cold on your skin. Continue to focus on your breathing during the shower. If the water is too cold and you find yourself unable to bear it, turn the water warm for a few minutes to reset, then adjust again to a less cold setting. Definitions. Warm. Take a warm or hot shower for as long as you'd like. Cold. as freezing cold as you can possibly stand. Continue to push yourself. 20. No complaining, gossiping, or judging. I took on this challenge while 8 months pregnant with baby number 3. The final month of pregnancy, as many women can attest to, is miserable, with back pain, poor sleep, contractions, cramps, swelling, and all sorts of funny aches and pains. As a result, I'd turned into a short-tempered, negative, and all-around unpleasant person to be around. But just because I could get away with it didn't mean that I wanted to be that person. I wanted the opposite, to be positive, cheerful, and healthy as I prepared to bring another life into the world. This challenge trained me to recognize the things that I was being negative about, choose my words carefully, and search for positive alternatives. In the end, while I didn't triumph over every frustration, temptation, and inconvenience, I did behave with more patience and respond with more kindness. The rules. For the next 30 days, commit to no complaining, no gossiping, and no judging. Tips. Throughout the day, take note of the negative things you said or thought about. Where were you and what prompted you to react that way? Wear a bracelet or a rubber band on your wrist to serve as a reminder of your challenge. Every time you complain or criticize, switch the bracelet to the opposite wrist. At the end of the day, write down how many times you switched the bracelet. Try to beat your score the following day. Encourage family members, friends, or colleagues to call you out for complaining, gossiping, or judging. Variations. There are a few alternatives to this challenge that revolve around the practice of being aware of your emotions and conscious of your words. Practice self-compassion. Go 30 days without criticizing yourself. No yelling at, nagging, or criticizing your spouse and kids. This means refraining from jabs, name-calling, voice-raising, or eye-rolling. The behavior of others won't necessarily change, but yours will. 21. Spend 30 minutes outdoors. What's not to love about nature and the great outdoors? A stroll on the beach at sunset, a walk in the woods, a wade in the river. Research suggests that time in nature provides a boost to our physical and mental well-being. It only takes a few minutes of breathing fresh air and feeling the sun on your face to feel the uplifting and restorative effects the outdoors provides. Try out this challenge if you're feeling stuck, creatively uninspired, distracted, or down, or if you simply want to seek more awe. See Challenge 28, Give Yourself Goosebumps, Seek Daily Awe. The rules. Spend 30 minutes every day outdoors. Pay attention to and enjoy the sights, sounds, smells, and sensations of your surroundings. A family affair. Turn this challenge into a family affair and head outside with your little ones. For children, unstructured time in a natural setting improves fitness, coordination, curiosity, and problem solving. Some researchers say that time outside improves their eyesight and their ability to focus. So jump in puddles, play I Spy, look for footprints, birds, wildflowers, or oddly shaped rocks, and enjoy this family challenge. Tips. How to spend more time outdoors. There are so many ways to spend more time outdoors, but none of these activities and events will happen on their own. Take time at the beginning of the week to schedule all of your outdoor adventures. Where will you go? When and with whom? Here are some suggestions. Take your lunch and eat under a tree or by a fountain. Take a walking meeting or a phone call. Move your workouts to your backyard or local park. Walk or bike to work. Find a great book and read outside. Plan a picnic with friends or family. Eat dinner al fresco. Do yoga or meditate outside. Go for a hike or take a nature walk. Grab your camera and take photos of the things around you that you find beautiful, inspiring, or unique. Toss a tennis ball or a frisbee with your dog. 22. The Laughter Challenge. If you're searching for a challenge that is easy, uplifting, and guaranteed to put a smile on your face, look no further. A good, hearty laugh is a stress reliever, mood booster, and energy enhancer. The act of laughing changes the body's physiology while triggering a release of chemicals in the brain that alters your emotional state. Laughter is contagious, healing, and one of the easiest ways to feel good. It really is the best medicine. The rules. Whether you chuckle, giggle, howl, or laugh until you cry, search for funny, humorous, and laughable moments in your day. Take note of how your mood or stress levels change throughout the month. Watch Airplane, an episode of Modern Family, or a Louis C.K. stand-up special. Listen to a comedy album or podcast. Go to a live comedy show. Or read a book by David Sedaris. And of course, head to YouTube, which has an endless arsenal of short, funny video clips. Tip. Links to an extensive list of funny YouTube videos, books, and shows can be found at hackerella.com/30daybook. 23. Dress up every day. I often find myself falling into the habit of wearing a tank top, hoodie, and workout pants. Most days, I tie my hair back into a bun, dab on a little concealer, and head out the door. It's easy and comfortable. It makes my hectic life manageable. But at the same time, I don't like the fact that I deprioritize my own appearance. I enjoy dressing up. A great outfit makes me happy, and I appreciate being complimented when I make the effort. This challenge is for people who want to get out of the habit of throwing on the same outfit every day. It's for people who want to stand out, express themselves with more confidence and creativity, and improve their sense of style by learning about what patterns, colors, and silhouettes flatter their skin tones and body types best. It will take time and effort, but it won't go unnoticed. The rules. For 30 days, get dressed every day. No workout clothes, loungewear, leggings, running shoes, or flip-flops allowed. Accessorize, do your hair, and put some makeup on. Tips. Choose your outfit the night before. Don't put yourself in a position where you are strapped for time and scrambling to put an ensemble together as you're trying to get out the door. Spice up repeat items with different accessories. Make plans. A great motivator to dress up is to have somewhere to go, whether it's a meeting, a lunch, cocktails with friends, or a movie. Get inspired. Follow fashion bloggers for ideas. There are hundreds of options for every style and budget. Sign up for a clothing service. Companies like Le Tote, I am a customer, or Stitch Fix send hand-picked clothing and accessories based on your style profile directly to your door. You can try the clothes on from the comfort of your home and send back whatever you don't like. Take risks. Throughout the month, wear something a little bolder, a little brighter, and a little outside your comfort zone. Bright pink lipstick? A bow tie? Stripes and polka dots? Why not? This is the month to experiment and have fun with clothing. 24. Get better sleep. Do you pay much attention to how you sleep? Or do you hop into bed, turn off the light, and hope for the best. Some nights you may toss and turn. Other nights you may pass out in seconds. You might wake up a few times, or not at all. And if you're lucky, you'll wake up before the alarm clock goes off, feeling spectacular. The benefits of sleep are significant and include a strong immune system, energy, creativity, and concentration, among many others. This month, you'll be learning how to engineer an ideal night of sleep. The rules. For the next 30 days, commit to a consistent bedtime routine where you start winding down 30 to 60 minutes before bed at the same time each night. Turn your devices off and get your body and brain into a more restful state. Tips. Sleep in total darkness. Because of our circadian rhythms, the presence of light prior to sleeping signals the body to limit the production of melatonin, which disrupts sleep. Get rid of or cover up your electronics, install blackout curtains, or sleep with an eye mask. Avoid blue light. Too much exposure to light before bedtime is one of the biggest culprits of sleep struggles. Before bed, avoid or limit the usage of tablets, smartphones, TVs, computers, clock radios, and other blue light-emitting devices. Even better, get them out of your bedroom. Keep your room cool. The ideal temperature for falling and staying asleep is somewhere between 65 and 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The cooler, the better. Studies show that cooler body temperatures lead to more deep sleep, whereas hot environments and higher body temperatures lead to more wakeful states. Adjust your sound. Research suggests that we can achieve more periods of deep sleep if we listen to certain binaural beats, aka brainwave entertainment. A simple white noise app will suffice, or, for the more adventurous, a special binaural deep sleep-inducing track. Clear your mind. This is a great time for a little introspection so that your day ends on a positive note. Say a prayer. Write down the things you accomplished during the day. Write down the things you're grateful for. See Challenge 31. Keep a gratitude journal. Meditate. Don't drink caffeine after 2 p.m. Caffeine is a stimulant that has sleep-disrupting effects. Don't drink alcohol. If you do, have your cocktails earlier in the evening and not right before bed. While alcohol might help you fall asleep, it lessens the amount of time you spend in REM sleep. If you can't sleep, get up. If you're not able to fall asleep after 20 minutes, get out of bed. Read or journal under a dim light. Dense fiction will surely put you to sleep quickly. Keep a record of your progress, whether you write down your sleep schedule in a journal or use a sleep tracking app. Mindfulness. 25. Meditate for 10 minutes. We've all heard the many benefits of a regular meditation practice: reduced stress, lower blood pressure, higher productivity, and improved creative thinking. But anyone who has ever tried meditation will know how incredibly difficult it is to sit and do nothing. During my meditation challenge, I sat for 20 minutes twice a day, and it was a struggle. I hated the idea of being alone with my thoughts. But it didn't take long to notice myself thinking before speaking, appreciating everyday moments, not getting flustered when something fell through the cracks, and focusing on solutions instead of dwelling on problems. 3 years later, I continue to meditate before bed for 5 minutes on a near daily basis because it keeps me just a little bit calmer, more patient, and kinder. The power of acceptance. Meditation isn't about forcing thoughts out of your head. It's about watching them and allowing them to exist, free of judgment and resistance. This simple act of watching our thoughts forces us to face them head on. We learn how to accept what is occurring around us and what has already happened, including the unfair, sad, and difficult things that are both within and beyond our control. We don't have to agree with them. We just have to accept that they're there. It's this brief moment of presence that ultimately teaches us, little by little, how to respond thoughtfully to a situation by resting and relaxing, as opposed to reacting automatically with a fight or flight response. The rules. Commit to 10 minutes of meditation a day. The following is a very simple mindfulness meditation that is based on the Buddhist idea of vipassana, meaning to see things as they really are, where you allow yourself to be aware of your thoughts, circumstances, environments, and experiences. Set a timer for 10 minutes. Sit comfortably with your spine straight, head up, and legs crossed, hands resting on your lap. Close your eyes and breathe deeply and slowly, in and out through the nose, always focusing on your breath. Your mind will drift, and that's okay. Don't try to force thoughts out of your head. Accept them and keep breathing. Tips. Decide in advance where and when will you meditate. You'll find it easier to continue meditating if you get into the habit of practicing at the same time every day. Ideally, first thing in the morning, when the mind is quieter and you're less likely to be disturbed. No distractions. The fear of disturbance will make it more difficult to reach that desired, relaxed state. Start small. If you can't bear the thought of 10 minutes a day, start with 5 or even 3 minutes. And if you can't concentrate with a timer, commit to taking 20 or 30 very slow, deep breaths. Consider guided meditations. There are many that will help you, such as Headspace and Om Vana. Recommended reading. Wherever You Go, There You Are by Jon Kabat-Zinn. 10% Happier by Dan Harris. 26. Write down affirmations. Muhammad Ali once said that it's the repetition of affirmations that leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. His affirmation was simple. I am the greatest. The basic idea behind affirmations is that the words have a subtle but powerful way of influencing our thoughts. We think in words, so the words that we say affect the words that we think. I know how uncomfortable it feels to look in the mirror and tell yourself things you don't necessarily believe. That's why I love the way that Scott Adams, the creator of the popular Dilbert comic strip, approaches affirmations. The idea behind affirmations is that you simply write down your goals 15 times a day and, somehow, as if by magic, coincidences start to build until you achieve your objective against all odds, he says in his book, How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big. Writing affirmations down over and over again takes effort, but the repetition helps you focus on your goal. It serves as a reminder of what you're working toward, almost as if you're brainwashing yourself. And maybe a small part of you will begin to believe that your goal is achievable, even when the rest of you does not. The rules. Write down your goals 15 times every day for 30 days, like Scott did. I, Scott Adams, will become a successful, syndicated cartoon artist. Tips. Take your time. Write by hand on a piece of paper or on your computer. But make sure you type each word out. No copying and pasting allowed. This forces you to think about and reflect on the words that you're writing. Start with a small goal. If this is your first encounter with affirmations, pick a goal that is realistic and achievable within a short time period. Piggyback off an activity you already do on a regular basis. If you journal every day, include affirmations when you write. Write just before you go to bed or after you drink your morning coffee. Variations. If you work better with a different mode of communication, consider reading out loud what you wrote down, speaking to yourself out loud, or listening to a recorded version of your voice speaking your affirmations. Play around with affirmations in different tenses and formats to find out what works for you. I, Scott Adams, am so happy and grateful that I am a successful cartoon artist. I am grateful that my cartoon strip has been syndicated by a national newspaper. Why am I such a successful cartoon artist? 27. 10 minutes of visualization. There's a fascinating study by psychologist Alan Richardson, who divided a group of basketball players into three groups. Their instructions were as follows. Group 1. Practice free throws for 20 minutes a day for 20 days. Group 2. No practice. Group 3. Visualize making free throws for 20 minutes each day for 20 days. After 20 days, Group 1 saw a 24% improvement in their free throws. Group 2, not surprisingly, saw no improvement. But the people in Group 3 improved by 23%. Can you imagine not shooting a single basketball and yet being able to perform almost as well as the group that actually practiced? The effects of visualization are powerful. It changes brain patterns, motor performance, and the body's physiological responses, and can even accelerate healing. It works because you create a new mental picture of yourself, one that closes the deal, writes the book, makes the free throw, sinks the golf putt, and wins the competition. The more detail you put into your mental movie, the more you'll start to believe it. The rules. To prepare, think of one perfect day 5 or 10 years from now. Picture yourself from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you go to sleep. Is it a day when you achieve your goal? What do you look like? Where are you living? What does your house look like? What clothes are you wearing? What do you eat for breakfast? Who do you spend time with? What goals have you achieved? How do you feel? Every day for the next 30 days, sit in a quiet place with your eyes closed and conjure up the image of that perfect day. For 10 minutes, feel the sensations and emotions, smell the smells, hear the sounds, imagine the conversations, and make your visualization become as real as possible. Tips. Write it down. On day one, write down your perfect day in as much detail as possible. This will help you create the details of your mental picture as you develop your visualization practice. Use visual reminders to help make your visualization seem more real. Cut out photos from magazines, Photoshop pictures, and mock up large checks, book covers, or awards. Decide where and when you will spend your 10-minute visualization and pair the action with an already existing habit. Track your progress and refine the process. If you find yourself falling asleep or getting distracted, because these things might happen, consider switching times, places, or positions. Keep drawing your attention back to visualization. 28. Give yourself goosebumps. Seek daily awe. Awe is not an emotion that we think of often, but it's an important one. Awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast or beyond human scale that transcends our current understanding of things, says psychologist Dacher Keltner. When we experience awe, we feel like a small part of something bigger. It's dramatic, uplifting, and inspiring. It stimulates wonder and curiosity the same way that little kids who endlessly ask why marvel at the world around them. Keltner goes on to write in a fascinating piece for the New York Times, "Awe is the ultimate collective emotion, for it motivates people to do things that enhance the greater good. Through many activities that give us goosebumps, collective rituals, celebration, music and dance, religious gatherings and worship, awe might help shift our focus from our narrow self-interests to the interests of the group to which we belong." The rules. Every day, seek out ways to experience wonder and beauty in the world. Find what gives you goosebumps. Tips. Look for things to see, hear, taste, touch, and smell that move you. It could be something extraordinary like the Grand Canyon, the cascading waterfalls of Yosemite, or waves crashing on the beach. It could be the ordinary, like a bite of the perfect burger, watching leaves change color in the fall and drop to the ground, a baby laughing, a beautiful poem or a piece of music. Look up at tall trees or the night sky. Look down from an airplane window. Observe strangers being kind to one another. Smell a bouquet of flowers. Savor the sweetness of a warm chocolate croissant. Listen to live jazz. Go for a bike ride and feel the wind on your face. And when you do, pause and reflect on the beautiful things around you. 29. The Higher Power Challenge. Many of the challenges in this section, from meditation to journaling to affirmations, are about bringing more wisdom and self-awareness into your life. This challenge, however, explores the relationship you have with a higher power. It's natural to crave a connection with something higher than yourself. You don't have to be religious to live a spiritual life. But if you are searching for a religious or spiritual practice, this challenge will help you begin to explore it. The rules. Spend 10 to 20 minutes per day in a spiritual practice. Read and reflect on passages from spiritual texts, 5 to 10 minutes. Choose texts from religious books like the Bible, Torah, Quran, Tao Te Ching, or Bhagavad Gita, or ancient non-religious books like Plato's Republic, or the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. Pray, 5 to 10 minutes. Here's a process to make it easier for you. Give thanks for people, things, and events in your life. Reflect on the events of the day, significant moments, or times when you weren't your best self. Pray for the people you love. Pray and forgive those who have wronged you. Ask for a sign, a message, or an answer. Commit to being a better person tomorrow. End with a written prayer. For example, the Lord's Prayer. Tips. Make it routine. Practice prayer early in the morning or just before bedtime. Pray as a family. Carve out time each day to share your prayers, passages, and reflections out loud with your family. It could be at the dinner table, at bedtime, or in a prayer walk around your neighborhood. Go to temple or church. Spend 15 minutes in an empty church, which I love to do, or attend service around others. There's something about being in a quiet, sacred place that gives us a sense of peace and reverence. And If you want to step outside of your comfort zone and explore different faiths and religions, visit a different congregation. 30. Daily journaling. Of all the challenges and experiments I've taken on over the years, there's one habit I've picked up that I cannot function without. Journaling. I write just about every day. It's private and unfiltered, and through it, I work through problems, brainstorm ideas, and search for answers. I complain, gush, vent, analyze dreams, and ponder topics for upcoming challenges. My grammar is horrible. I frequently change topics or abandon thoughts mid-sentence, but that's the beauty of journaling. There are no rules. Journaling can be an extremely powerful and therapeutic tool for improving self-awareness. Through your words, you learn to become honest with yourself, ask better questions, notice patterns and details, or remember conversations that you might otherwise have forgotten. Sort through things that don't make sense. Make plans, from long-term goals to tomorrow's to-do list. Find things to be grateful for. Work through anxiety, worry, fear, and negativity. Start focusing on solutions. The blank page might seem intimidating, but it's a worthwhile experiment, especially if you're feeling stuck, conflicted, or overwhelmed. The rules. Every day, write or type in a private journal for at least 15 minutes. Aim for at least one full page or 250 words. Write about whatever you'd like, without editing, thinking, or judging. Think of it as a chance to get thoughts out of your head and ideas flowing. Tips. If you prefer a more structured writing challenge, consider the following prompts. Write about your day. What did you do? Where did you go? Who did you talk to? Write a letter to your future self. Write a letter to someone you love and are grateful for. Write a letter to someone who you want to improve your relationship with. Write down your goals for the next week, month, quarter, and year. Write down your eulogy. What would you want said about your life and how you lived it? Work through a problem you're facing or a decision that you're weighing. What would you do with your life if money were no object? How would you spend your time? Create your bucket list. Create a list of all the things, big, medium, or small, that you are grateful for. Write until you can't think of a single thing left to be grateful for. What is your favorite quote or song lyric, and what does it mean to you? Write about your earliest memory in as much detail as you can remember. Write a long apology. Write about things that make you smile. Try pure stream of consciousness writing. Write whatever pops into your head. Recommended website. 750words.com. An online private journal. Free for 30 days. 31. Keep a gratitude journal. Gratitude is a powerful emotion. Research suggests that recording positive experiences every day improves mood, energy, and overall well-being, and I believe it. When I take the time to focus on the people, things, and circumstances that are good in my life, and not the things that upset or irritate me, I feel different. My mood improves. Choosing to give thanks instead of dwelling on the negative is not a skill that comes easily. We must practice it on a daily basis. The rules. Each day, write down three experiences or things that you are grateful for. A conversation you had with a friend, a glass of wine, a beautiful sunset, or snuggles with your dog. Reflect on why you are grateful for them. For gratitude to be impactful, the words and feelings must match. So be sure to take the time to feel the appreciation as deeply as you can. Recommended app, the 5-Minute Journal, $3.99. 32. Write down your dreams. I've long been fascinated by the idea that our dreams can provide meaning, insight, and answers in our lives. There's so much going on in the subconscious that we're not aware of. It is truly a treasure trove of information, memories, and experiences. Our dreams bring some of these things to the surface, often in bizarre and senseless ways that we pay little attention to. But with a bit of practice and focus, our dreams can help us access even a little bit of the knowledge, creativity, and inspiration that's inside of us. The rules. When you wake up in the morning, immediately write down everything you can remember about what you dreamed about the night before. Aim to remember at least one dream per night in as much detail as possible. Tips. Keep a journal and pen next to your bedside. Begin writing as soon as you open your eyes. This means before you go to the bathroom, drink a glass of water, or reach for your phone. If you're struggling to remember your dream, start with any little clues, phrases, images, or thoughts that come to mind and build from there. Record everything you can remember, including how you felt, what you thought about, or conversations you had. Focus on the 1 to 2 most powerful and vivid dreams. These will be the ones that have the most meaning. If you like this challenge and want to further explore the fascinating world of dreams, go on to the next challenge, practice lucid dreaming. 33. Practice lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming, the idea of dreaming at will, has been studied for thousands of years by everyone from the ancient Hindus and Greek philosophers to Renaissance writers, theologians, Tibetan monks, and clinical researchers. It's the ability to be aware that you're dreaming and use that awareness to manipulate your dream. With some practice, you can create some surreal experiences like being able to build fantasy worlds, change forms, time travel, or dine with celebrities. You can pick up writing tips from Hemingway, hit tennis balls with Serena Williams, or take guitar lessons from Segovia. Sounds incredible, right? Studies are showing that you can also use your dreams to improve the quality of your waking life, including creativity and problem solving, learning and skill development, overcoming nightmares, decision-making, stress reduction, and finding inner awareness, presence, and mindfulness. Lucid dreaming preparation. This challenge requires a bit of practice before you begin, which is why you'll need to have completed all or part of Challenge 32, Write Down Your Dreams. Make sure you have a minimum of 8 to 10 dreams recorded in detail. Next, identify your dream signs. What odd things, activities, people, or places make regular appearances? What patterns can you see? Lucid dreaming requires that you recognize your dream state. So, in order to be able to say to yourself, "I must be dreaming," you need to have a clear picture of the kind of dreams you have most often. That way, you can recognize the dream while it's happening. The rules. Every day, practice reality checks throughout the day. A reality check is a way for you to tell the difference between a dream and reality. Test your reality as often as you can so that it becomes habitual. Whether it's every hour on the hour, it will only take a few seconds, or every time you go to the bathroom, drink a glass of water, or walk through a door, ask yourself, "Am I dreaming? Or am I awake?" Eventually, you will find yourself testing reality in a dream state. And that is when you can begin to consciously manipulate your dream. Reality testing exercises. Look at objects and notice patterns, colors, and textures. Look away and then look back and make sure that everything is the same. In a dream world, objects, and even people, have a funny way of changing shape and form right before your eyes. Look in the mirror. Does your reflection look normal? Plug your nose. Can you breathe normally? Jump. Do you float to the ground? Notice people, situations, or activities that appear in your dreams frequently. Ask yourself where you are, what you're wearing, and what happened 5 minutes ago. Induction. In order to induce a lucid dream, control your environment. Sleep in a dark, cool, and quiet room where you won't be interrupted. Relax. Before bed, do a progressive relaxation exercise where you release all tension from your body and clear your mind from the day's worries. Set your intention. Resolve to be aware of your dream state. Rehearse the dream. Visualize your intention or whatever benefit you're seeking, spa treatment, answers, inspiration, enlightenment, or my personal favorite, flying, as you're falling asleep, and imagine yourself in a lucid dream. Recommended reading. Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming by Stephen LaBerge and Howard Rheingold. LaBerge study, www.lucidity.com/SLBBS. Organization and productivity. 34. No reading, watching, or listening to the news. In 2012, former Google head of SEO, Matt Cutts, went on a media fast. The philosophy is simple. Lots of news is sensationalized or depressing. You can't do much about it, and it takes up a fair amount of your mental cycles, he said. Without news to occupy me, large swaths of time have opened up to do other things. I've gotten a lot more stuff done in the last couple of weeks. It's curiously freeing to have no idea who won Super Tuesday or what company just bought what other company. My husband, a self-admitted news junkie, also took on this challenge earlier this year and saw an equally profound impact. Instead of watching the news at home, he watched sports or HGTV. Instead of distracting himself with catchy headlines at work, he read sales dashboards, reports, or internal team posts. Instead of listening to talk radio during his commute, he listened to audiobooks. It's no surprise that he felt so liberated afterward. Physically, I felt more relaxed. Mentally, I increased my knowledge and awareness in areas that I'm interested in, and I'm hungry for more. Spiritually, I began my days with less angst and more focus and control, which in turn led me to be more productive, he said. If we remove the news, we become forced to draw our own conclusions and synthesize the information ourselves. Maybe we'd ask more questions, seek out different opinions, engage in debate or discussion, or go directly to the facts. Remove the news, and we become active consumers of information instead of passively absorbing what the media pushes on us. Chunks of time become available to read, create, work, discuss, and think. The rules. For 30 days, do not read, watch, or listen to the news. Live events are permitted, but no analysis. Tips. Make it hard to access the news. Delete news apps from your smartphone and tablet. Turn off all notifications. Install a website blocker to prevent you from accessing your favorite news sites. Find replacement activities and have them handy and easily accessible. Play a game, read a book, do a crossword puzzle, etc. Make sure you have books and games handy, apps and podcasts downloaded. If you want to know what's going on in the world, engage in dialogue and discussion with others. ask friends, family members, coworkers, or even strangers to relay the most important headlines and news facts. 35. Get rid of clutter. In 2015, I took on a decluttering challenge. I've always believed that our environment affects our health and well-being, and my clutter-filled, disorganized home was beginning to frustrate me. I felt like I wasn't in control of my things, and I hated the feeling. A quick Google search will return a number of different clutter-clearing philosophies. Some recommend working in small chunks, where every day you throw out 10 things, while others suggest you work hard for 15 minutes and that's it. Still others recommend setting aside a day or weekend to tackle the project all at once. Inspired by Marie Kondo's The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, I decided to go for the big purge. I spent 2 full months discarding, recycling, donating, and organizing. It was hard work, but I was ecstatic with the end result. I loved looking around to see clean, empty spaces. It was easy to find things when there were less things to find, and easy to put things away when you knew where they belonged. The rules. Sort through your things category by category and make decisions about what stays, what gets donated or sold, and what gets thrown out. Don't allow yourself the luxury of a maybe pile. The only thing you gain is a delayed decision that you still must make. Only after you've completed the sorting process can you begin organizing and putting things back in place. Tips: schedule the work in advance. Decide what you will work on and when. Begin with categories that will be easy to make decisions about, like clothes and books. Work on sentimental items last. The hardest part about decluttering is letting go of sentimental items because of the memories attached to them. Remind yourself that you are not your stuff, and replace the guilt of parting with the object with gratitude and appreciation for the memory. Decluttering schedule. Day 1, clothing, tops. Day 2, clothing, bottoms. Day 3, clothing, dresses and outerwear. Day 4, clothing, sleepwear, socks, and underwear. Day 5, clothing, other. Day 6, shoes. Day 7, accessories, scarves, bags, etc. Day 8, jewelry. Day 9, books and magazines. Day 10, papers. Day 11, kids, tops and bottoms. Day 12, kids, dresses, outerwear, and sleepwear. Day 13, kids, shoes, socks, etc. Day 14, kids, toys. Day 15, household, toiletries, and medicines. Day 16, household, linens and towels. Day 17, household, CDs and DVDs. Day 18, household, cleaning supplies. Day 19, household, office supplies. Day 20, household, electrical items and cables. Day 20, household, decor and entertainment. Day 22, kitchen, refrigerator and freezer. Day 23, kitchen, cooking, storage, and gadgets. Day 24, kitchen, dishes, glasses, and cutlery. Day 25, kitchen, pantry. Day 26, miscellaneous, spare change and small items. Day 27, miscellaneous, luggage and sporting equipment. Day 28, miscellaneous, furniture. Day 29, personal, photos. Day 30, personal, sentimental items. 36, make your bed every morning. This is a simple challenge about beginning your day with a little discipline and order. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage